remember who Andy Rooney is?
Andy Rooney. That's, yeah. He did the movie with boxers. No, not at all. He's Soup.
Soup? Oh, right, the MST3K bit. Yes, Soup. Do you remember who Andy Rooney is? I don't know.
Andy Rooney was on 60 Minutes. He used to do those ranty opinion pieces where he'd say, you know what I hate?
Yeah, Andy Rooney, 5 minutes being annoyed. Like, yeah. Honestly, when I was a kid, I thought that was the perfect job.
Professional curmudgeon?
Yeah, professional angry. Well, professional annoyed. Canonically, I mean, my favorite Andy Rooney thing ever, and I saw this when it originally aired on my grandmother's Pillar television thing in I'm pretty sure that was still Palatine, near Lake Louise. Well, unincorporated Palatine. Shh, don't tell anybody. It was Andy Rooney complaining about the proper way to eat an ice cream cone.
Slow news day?
I can't. Well, no, it's Andy Rooney. No, it was the middle of, it may have well have been the middle of Iran-Contra or other Iranian stuff, because that's all that was happening in the 80s, as far as I remember, right? It was either we were having problems with Iran or whatever. No, it was the rules. It was like, I'm not an expert on much, other than being a weirdo on TV, but I certainly know how to eat an ice cream cone. And it was literally like 15 or 18 or 20 rules on how to properly eat an ice cream cone, and with like rules about when you're allowed to go from one scoop to two.
Okay, so you hold it by the cone.
Yeah.
And you lick the ice cream, and not the cone or your hand.
No, you bite the ice cream.
You bite the ice cream.
Yeah, that was the thing.
Like, I think if Andy Rooney had been basically 40 years transplanted into the future, all of his complaining moments would have been in the form of GIFs on BuzzFeed or Cracked.
Well, the whole reason I bring it up is because there's something I'm feeling a bit Andy Rooney about, and that's bezels on smartphones and tablets.
What's a bezel?
Okay, it's the little edge between where the screen ends and the actual end of the device ends.
Okay, it's that the seam, the ridge, the
gap, yeah, is okay. If you don't, I use a tablet pretty extensively in producing Ask an Atheist, because I use it like the computer in front of me does the radio show, the tablet I have in my hand does literally everything else.
Okay.
And it's nice, it's new, it's modern, it's thin, it's got a very good place to hold on to so that I don't drop it.
So you're not touching the screen though,
so too. I'm not touching the screen while I'm reading from it, while I'm doing the cold reads.
Okay.
But everybody complains that bezels are too big on smartphones, and there's like this big fight to get rid of bezels, to make the devices as small and as thin as possible, and to have one surface that you can have the entire, you know, that's just all display. And I'm like, okay, you know what? That looks cool. That's great from an industrial design standpoint. If you're a guy who builds devices, it's an interesting accomplishment. How the heck do you use that?
How do you hold it?
And how do you hold it?
I'm still.
Well, you bite it, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, you bite. Apparently, you lick it. I don't know.
I'm still a bit blown away that it has a name. It's like, yeah, finding out that the plastic ends of shoelaces are called aglets.
I've got weird names for a lot of things. But
so a bezel, people want to have a phone
with
that,
no bezels on it at all.
Okay, so it's just screen,
yeah,
to the edge.
And apparently Apple's going to have a press conference in the next week or two about a phone with even smaller bezels. And I'm like, so how do you answer a call without like accidentally dialing Mozambique? How, you know,
well, they're going to flub the presentation because they won't be able to use the phone as the remote control to change all the images. And then it'll just be like...
Yeah.
Oops, I've pulled up my weather app now. Oh no, now I'm on that previous email.
Right, so you're listening to Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Mulvey, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I've now spent 4 minutes talking about stuff I don't care about. Joining me this week is Mike. Hello.
Hello.
And Becky, how are you?
Glad to be here.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is I'm just reading about, you know, I do device development as one of my gigs, and... everyone's like, make the bezel smaller, make the bezel smaller. I'm like, why? I literally the most recent iPhone I can't use because I can't hold on to it.
Is it possible that we could make it bigger? Actually, just make the device.
Can we
bigger?
Make it bitter, bigger, better, stronger,
well,
more powerful than before? Oh, we can rebuild it.
We have the technology.
We have the technology.
But I mean, I'm speaking as someone who has giant sausage fingers, and I'm saying that when I have a device like this is the reason that I have a tablet Instead of a smartphone. Also poor, but primarily poor. But the reason that I can't use something that small is that I have a finger that'll cover like four apps on that thing.
Precisely my point. I'm not a huge guy, but I'm not a tiny guy.
Do I need to pull out a stylus to dial a number?
No. Actually, it reminds me of the one time, though, that I was holding something very heavy in my hand, and I had one of the first model iPhones, and it started ringing, and I pulled it out of my pocket. I'm like, how do I answer this call? Like, I cannot use my left hand. I've got the phone in my right hand. I don't know how to answer it. So I licked my phone. And you know what? It worked.
There you
Hello?
Go.
Hello? My phone's damp. Hang on. Rub, rub, rub. Hello?
But I'm sorry. You should bite your phone.
Yeah, I suppose I should. So we're going into the break. When we come back, we have a really fun interview with the...
Helen Stringer of Kansas City Oasis. It was really quite fun talking with Helen. So
yeah, recorded a little earlier this week. Should be a lot of fun. And what did this have to do with atheism? Literally nothing. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, like I said, have a really good interview about a new cultural project that I think deserves a lot of attention.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com, where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
48 hours, 24 hours, 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEXradio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
At Puget Sound Celebrant Service, we want to be your secular wedding officiant. We are committed to serving the Puget Sound region and work to ensure your special day is all about you. Robert, a certified humanist celebrant with the Humanist Society, specializes in secular weddings and customizes ceremonies to fit your needs. To commemorate your special day, each couple married by Robert will receive a one-year membership to the American Humanist Association. Find out more at PugetSoundCelebrant.com.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That's our voicemail number, toll-free nationwide. Joining us now is Helen Stringer. She's a co-founder of the Oasis Network and the executive director of Kansas City Oasis. She recently visited Tacoma to meet with potential organizers of Puget Sound Oasis. Welcome, Helen.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, well, first things first, what's Oasis?
We are an alternative to faith-based community with our sole goal of just helping to connect those of us who either just don't fit in church anymore or not a part of it, but still want that community aspect that, you know, religious communities tend to provide in our culture. And we are the alternative to that.
So is it a community or are there sort of services that happen?
So we don't call them services. I mean,
on purpose so that we don't, a lot of PTSD from past church experience. So we call them gatherings, but we have a weekly event. And it's been described as something like a cross between a TED Talk and a house concert. So we bring in different musical groups, individuals, different types of genres. Every week it varies. And then we bring in different speakers on all kinds of topics that you can possibly imagine that either get you thinking or are inspiring or add to your life in some way. And sometimes they're just really interesting in general. So, and then we do social and volunteer opportunities throughout the week. So we're trying to just find different ways that people can connect, opt in different ways that resonate for them. And it's been really resonating with a lot of people.
So you say it's like a TED Talk, and you call them gatherings rather than services to
we
not...
try. That's the best word we've stumbled upon, at least the moment.
Oh, okay.
It still sounds kind of woo-ish, though, in my opinion. But, you know, rather than calling it a... But it is something different. So, sincerely, it's one of the most challenging things with this. If you haven't been to one of our, you know, programs, events, or gatherings, however you want to call it, you know, our framework in our culture is to think of, like, church or, you know, things that make sense in ways that we already kind of picture this stuff. And it's different. It really is different. But it's hard to describe that without having you come visit.
So you say TED Talk. Is mm-hmm. it so it's going to be it's not going to be conversations and more about morality and stuff like it sounds like it's going to be there's scientific
yes.
What kind of stuff do you talk about?
It can vary greatly. You know, we're not bound by one book. So literally, let's see, for example, we've had most recently we've had talks on, at Christmas, one of my, she's an environmentalist, has a PhD in environmental science. She did this, it's kind of unrelated to that topic, like what Santa Claus didn't tell you about evolution or something. And it was this really interesting cross between the evolution of Kris Kringle and Santa Claus and then like evolution itself. And so that would be more like kind of science techie. And then I've had like on Valentine's Day, we had a therapist talk about love and relationships. And so that's kind of more practical, but it was kind of fitting because it was, you know, that, you know, day of the year that some of us just dread or hate Hallmark, you know.
Right.
So
I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah. And so we've had, and granted, we'll occasionally discuss religion. It's not an off topic thing, but we generally try to focus on all the aspects of life, not just the fact that we're done with religion. But we do, a lot of us find it fascinating and interesting. So, you know, we had John DeLenn, who's the founder of Mormon Stories podcast, came and spoke in Kansas City, and it was really great to hear story of leaving Mormonism and kind of where, you know, Mormonism is right now with some of that stuff. Had some ex-Muslims, you know, speak as well. So it varies very, very greatly.
So you say it is different from what we usually conceive of in terms of a church service, mm-hmm. but is there any extent to which it mirrors a typical church morning, a Sunday morning? Is there, you know,
donuts?
Any kind
of- we do provide, you know, sugar.
Oh, there's fellowship
fat.
Hall afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, think about it like this. So what church provided was it met the human needs. So remove the dogma and the exclusion and all the parts that, you know, those of us who are unaffiliated or non-religious don't opt in into anymore, but we're still human. We still need community. And a lot of us can find it in like what we're offering with Oasis. So yes, we meet on a Sunday. Only reason why right now, and you would future communities don't have to, but it's the perfect time in our culture to gather a critical mass of people of different ages and families. And so we happen to meet on Sunday. We are a group of people meeting, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely a reason we do Ask an Atheist on Sunday. It's a day when no, you know, we're culturally not supposed to have anything to do, so it's the nicest place to put things. So
exactly,
an increasingly louder question specifically here in Tacoma is activities for children. Does mm-hmm. Oasis have stuff like that?
Absolutely. That was one of the most selfish reasons that I wanted to start one in Kansas City, is because I wanted my children to have the opportunity to connect with other families that were like ours, mm-hmm. which just means non-religious. You would think it would be not a big deal, which maybe out here, maybe it's not quite as, you know, that alternative. But in the Midwest, it certainly is. So yes, we do offer a children's program and then offer things throughout the week, you know, that they can connect with other families and hang out with other kids, you know, fun stuff.
So personally, I always kind of liked the idea of I'll be honest, I kind of like the idea of being clergy once upon a time. Almost thought about becoming a universalist Unitarian minister, or other way around, whatever. But I didn't really want to do 3 years of Bible study. So when I hear about concepts like this, I'm always curious how this got built. Was there just a bunch of people that just had an idea? How did Oasis get started?
The original, so the first Oasis was Houston Oasis, and it was founded by a former pastor, Mike Ouse, and a other team of people. And he jokingly said that, I forget, you know, that basically, you know, the Oasis is the result of sitting around eating Bosnian food or something like that. I forgot what country. It was some really random countries. Like, we just sat around, we were talking about, you know, doing something different meeting that need, but removing all the stuff that they don't like. And so they launched in, I think, September of 2012 with a small group of people and just slowly, slowly grew. Kansas City Oasis, I reached out to Mike just wondering what he was doing, thinking like, oh, can you just help? Give me some advice. I want to start something like this. And then we resonated on what he was doing, what I was dreaming up were the same things. And so I readily recognize the benefits of having a greater support network, you know, and that wisdom that comes with that, shared resources, shared experiences. And so that's when we came on board and shared the same values. We're autonomous organizations, though, entirely. But we started April of 2014. So we're not even 2 years in yet.
So your autonomous organizations, the first one was in Houston. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Kansas City didn't happen too far after that.
Yeah.
What brings you to Tacoma?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, Time Magazine ran an article that focused basically on Houston Oasis as the community model for the secular, you know, future of community. And ever since that ran, we started getting inquiries from all over the country being like, what are you doing? We want to do this. And then that's when Mike and I we had always known that we would want to kind of figure out, well, what can we do to kind of really, truly form the affiliate organization, create a network that is supportive and helps get these communities off the ground and connect one another. And that's over time has kind of slowly developed. And that's what leads us out here, you know, today, is that there was interest. We just follow where interest is. We're not really necessarily advertising other than like here right now, people hear me talk on different things and find out about us. The organizers for that group invited us to come out and speak, kind of share what we're doing, kind of did like a mock Oasis. We had a live musician. She was amazing. I think it was Caitlin. I can't remember her last name. Hopefully I'll remember here before it ends. She was incredible. And then did a community moment, which is another aspect of our model, where we have like a 10-minute community person speaks on their thought for the day, their journey to free thought, or just an idea. And it can, like in Kansas City, it can range greatly from very serious topics to really funny, just kind of off the wall stuff. So we did like a little mock gathering, and then just to spur interest and see who was interested in serving on launch teams, because Oasis were teams of teams of teams. So it's not just one, you know, charismatic individual making everything happen. We're just teams of people spreading, you know, the work and making this possible.
So you don't really have that central clergy person.
No, we don't want that. We don't want that. And we're not a religious organization. We are a registered 501c3 education nonprofit.
Brings me to my next question. A couple of years ago, we had Sanderson Jones of the
Sunday Assembly.
The Sunday Assembly.
Yeah.
I don't know why the name escaped me. he was talking about the system. He was trying to get started, and he was on a tour of the United States, trying to get them built up here. I believe there's a Sunday Assembly in Seattle. What distinguishes the Oasis, I guess, network at this point?
Yeah.
From the Sunday Assembly
stuff? The biggest thing, really, I think we have so much in common, and we have so much affinity for Sunday Assembly. And quite frankly, we are huge proponents of all secular community, because the more opportunity people have to connect and organize themselves, we see as just wonderful. But the main difference is that we're frequent. So we are a weekly model. We believe that frequency is necessary, that frequent opportunity doesn't mean you go every week, but we offer the frequent opportunity for people to connect. So if you only offer something once a month, you don't see them for for, you know, 60 days, you can't really establish relationships or get to know someone. And so that's the biggest difference. We have a different music style. We bring in different musical genres. We don't have, like, necessarily one house band. I think an Oasis community could, though. We expect to see a lot of diversity in our communities as well. We're not super strict on our structure. We share the same values. That's at the core of who we are. And we do stress the weekly motto would be another big piece.
I just want to take a second to say that this is an answer that I should not surprise me, but does a little bit, and I find incredibly gratifying in the free thought community when some people with similar ideas, but instead of seeing it as a competition, this is not about specific organizations, mm-hmm. but about the community.
Yes.
And it's about, because the fact of the matter is, these religions have been running for, you know, thousands of years. Mm-hmm. They understand community building and getting people together.
Yep.
This is, get rid of the bad, keep the good. And this really feels like filling a need for a lot of people that it's been missing. And it's nice to hear, rather than having the people's front of the Judea and the Judeans people's front, mm-hmm. that people are working together.
Yes, absolutely.
So I can see how folks who might be used to attending weekly services through their childhood, or if they were former pastors, might really slide very comfortably into a weekly model on a Sunday. But what could that look like for a relatively unchurched area of the country or metropolitan area like the Puget Sound, or increasingly metropolitan areas around the country?
It's whatever people want to opt into. I mean, we're not doing anything that is filled with guilt or shame. We're offering a really compelling experience on Sundays. It's fun. We get together because we enjoy it. If you don't want to go to Sunday, we offer social events, different happy hours, other ways to connect. We do service opportunities throughout the city to help, different things. So we're kind of offering all different kinds of stuff. You can opt into it all. You can opt into one thing every quarter. It doesn't really matter. We want people to kind of fill, everyone has a different level of community need, and hopefully they can find a way to fill that.
So it sounds like it doesn't sound like you're showing up with a binder like, this is how we do it.
No.
It's still pretty, the core of the idea is just getting people on a regular basis with something to talk about, some form of entertainment, and then build to suit,
yep.
is what it sounds
Seriously,
like.
Seriously, a lot of our thing, I think it's really necessary to let things develop organically. And that's really, I would say that is one of the kind of core things that we lean towards. It's not like it's a rigid thing, but we're not rigid either. And I think that makes things more exciting and compelling as well, is that you kind of never know, you know, what, I mean, you do know, we advertise the speakers, but it's just different every week, but you're still seeing the same really familiar, great faces and getting to have a shared experience together.
So the weekly commitment, the weekly opportunity is great for people in the community, but the weekly commitment of organizers to be mm-hmm. able to have that is something pretty big. How is an Oasis community sustained? Is it all volunteer? Is it, you know, where do you get the funds? How do you get the space? Sort of
it's primarily volunteer. I mean, and I will say for the most part, all of them are going to be 100% volunteer run. And like I said earlier, we're teams of teams. So we're set up to where, in my role, I just help organize knowing what the needs are and then empower people to run with things. And also that helps people connect and build community because they're involved in it. They're invested in it. And then, yes, does it take resources? Of course. And we tell people, you know, we're excited to make this a reality and to make it even bigger and better than what they see right now. And if they believe in what we're doing and love it and they can afford to donate. And people do. We've never had an issue funding what we're doing. And yes, we have rent space. We've had significant, you know, bills from the start, and we've been able to make it a reality. But we're a part of people's everyday, weekly, monthly lives. It's a little bit easier, I think, than some secular organizations to raise money for.
So I think I'll put on my community organizing hat for a moment, because that is something I have done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a really great idea. It doesn't seem rigid, so it looks like, I said, it could be built to suit.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it fit into the environment. But you are building, it sounds like you are building a network. You're trying to keep these organizations in contact with each other, or...
Just because it's good to share ideas and resources, or just cross-support, like, you know, I'm dealing with this, you know, it's just... It's a matter of a greater support network at large. And we're all learning from this because we like to say we're like this big human experiment of sorts, you know, and we're all just kind of learning as we go.
Yeah.
And we're always going to be adapting and changing as we go.
This seems it seems like a critical component because now instead of just learning from your own experiences, your own mistakes, when people are coordinating, you can learn from each other. I mean, that's like I could see some people looking at it like, oh my God, like I said, it's not a binder. Is what I'm saying is it's not a franchise. You're not. It doesn't sound like you're expected to find to like follow some sort of recipe.
No,
but
we do have our five values. I should probably share those.
Oh,
they're
wow,
pretty big
you do.
Deal.
Okay, yeah. I'd like to hear them.
We're not just like random. So our first value is people are more important than beliefs. And I think this one resonates with a lot of people. Ironically, we have these shirts where it's really, I'm wearing it right now, actually. That's very clear. And it's amazing the conversations that happen. So I almost try to wear it in airports and the conversations that come out of that. And people who are supportive of that, yet some of us, we all don't live quite like that. But that's really important. We care about the human being first and foremost, anything else.
Okay.
Our second value is reality is known through reason. It used to be reality is known through reason, not revelation, but we didn't want the negative part in that. But I mean, we are hoping to take an approach to life that is based on reason, the scientific method, as much as humanly possible with all, you know, our human issues with that. Meaning comes from making a difference. So we want to be an organization that is solely desires to give back and help. Obviously, you can find meaning in all kinds of ways, but one of those ways is through making a difference. Human hands solve human problems is our fourth one. So, you know, we created these issues. It's you and I who are going to solve them, not some random guy in the sky. And lastly, be accepting and be accepted. We are about radical acceptance, not tolerance. And that's who we are. And I think that filter also attracts really great people.
Can you kind of break this down, the difference between tolerance and acceptance?
Can you imagine if I said I'm just going to tolerate you? It's like, oh, I'm just going to deal with you being here rather than accepting for who you are as a person, you know, what it means to be you as opposed to just like dealing with you being there. I mean, I feel like that's right. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
like, I'm going to tolerate this kid being here. You're so annoying. When in reality, I'm like, no, I embrace who you are. And that's beautiful. I might be different and we may disagree. But that's kind of the really beautiful thing about humanity is it's just we're fascinating beings.
Tolerance seems to suggest to me that it's, yeah, I'm just going to live with you and begrudgingly let you exist.
Yeah.
And
like my grandparents.
Sometimes
you know?
It can be, I'm not going to care. And it's just, these things are things that are not going to matter to me. But it seems like acceptance involves sort of an educational component where I'm going to take the time to learn about you as a human being rather than I'm reading from my own playbook here on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I always play by it. these are all very secular humanistic ideals.
Yep. Yeah.
But from those ideals, I'm assuming this isn't just for secular humanists.
Oh, no. We like to say that we're for anyone who doesn't, either if you don't fit in church. We have theists who are a part of what we're doing.
That's nice to see.
So, and we try really hard to bridge that gap. We're not out to, you know, belittle religious people. I think the honest critique of religion has its place. But for the most part, we want to be a safe place where we're just discussing and living life. And our five values are, you know, the filter for a lot of that.
It seems like it might be a really neat place for interfaith couples or interfaith families,
mm-hmm.
or where one person is a believer and one person is a secular humanist or atheist.
Yep. Yeah, we see that often. And I think, so we've had some major growth in Utah, which is, you know, predominantly Mormon. And so there's a lot of, I don't even call it mixed faith. Usually it's like one is and one just isn't.
Right.
And I think that their desire is really to find that ability to kind of create a place where maybe someone who might still have some type of faith or, you know, belief system where they can, you know, find that common place and common community. And we've seen that happen in Kansas City and Houston.
So there is a principle involved. So it's not like, God's Pentecostal church down the street can go up and say, I want to join up. So I guess that's important. But what it sounds like is the network you're trying to build is more about mutual assistance than it is about establishing a brand.
Perfect. Well said. Well said. Yeah.
Great. So
I'll just use that from now on. Thank you. So.
Awesome. All right.
No, you're right.
So Why was Oasis chosen? That's an interesting phrase to use for.
Why do we call ourselves Oasis?
Yeah.
So originally, I know that the intention was with Mike's group that, you know, it's supposed to be like an oasis of reason, like a literal oasis. So this place that's supposed to be positive, a place to reconnect for the week, a place to learn more, you know, a literal oasis from a world that is often so unreasonable. So that was kind of the hope in term. Also just to be neutral, nothing that would have as much baggage. Now, I know everyone wants to tell me what oasis there is of this and that that's religious or it's a business. You know, Houston Oasis said when they started, you know, the Houston Oasis in Houston was a massage parlor. But they, you know, now they're well known for being Houston Oasis as a secular community, not the massage parlor, which, you know, could work either way. The name, you know, is the hope is that it's a neutral as we can be with help, helping to also cast, you know, the vision of what we're trying to offer. And
well,
be.
Any word with nice connotations is going to be co-opted by some religion somewhere. So, I mean,
true.
You're not going to win that particular battle.
Exactly,
but,
right?
So if people would like to find out more, where would I send them?
You can go to peoplearemoreimportant.org. That's our first value, peoplearemoreimportant.org. And if you're interested in either being a part of one or if you are interested in leading one, just feel free to reach out to us. And we are hoping to kind of connect people in different cities and more opportunities. There's other cities that are coming on board, too, if do you have time for me to mention that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Where else have you got going?
Right now, so in Texas, San Antonio has a launch team forming. Austin has a launch team forming. And then, just recently, we have, there's 5 communities in Utah. The ones that I can share about are Provo Orem, which is Utah Valley.
Wow.
So where BYU is. Oh, yeah. It's exciting. And they're doing great. They just started last Sunday, did their first official gathering. They had one prior, the week prior, to kind of test it out. But and then Cache Valley, which was Community of Good originally. They decided to switch and affiliate with Oasis, and that's John DeLynn's community. I don't know if you've never spoken with John DeLynn before. And then there are 3 others in the same area, another in Idaho. And so we've just been following, you know, the interest and helping provide that support. We have a startup kit to kind of help guide them through it. And then they have Mike and I as resources and other mentors that we're training along to kind of help people make these things successful.
Fantastic.
It's huge. I love the positivity. I love the just the encouragement of whatever kind of secular community you want to form and is right for you in your area. I love that ethos behind
grassroots,
it too.
Grassroots, you know, like it has to, I think these things have to be grassroots led to be true to the city that they're a part of.
Helen Stringer is a co-founder of the Oasis Network and is the executive director of Kansas City Oasis. She was recently here in Tacoma to meet up with potential organizers of Puget Sound Oasis. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month, we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Like I said, that was a pretty good interview. And I have to admit, Becky, that I'm actually really happy that they came to the South Sound to talk to us about it.
It's really nice to be recognized specifically, although marketed as the Seattle area.
Well,
the recognition that there's a robust community of freethinkers and non-religious folks in the South Sound.
I mean, that's a conversation I've had, is that if you're in the area, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, or if you're in Washington and Oregon, if you're in this part of the world, the cultural differences between sort of Olympia and Seattle and Tacoma are fairly significant. I mean, Tacoma's it's a smaller town, it's a more working class town. Not to say that we don't have our own art stuff going on, but we have a thing going on. I mean, would you not say?
I would say.
Read an article about the tall ships coming back in 2017. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, once you get out of this area, you're everybody calls it the Seattle area.
And from far enough away through that lens. And yeah, it kind of blends together.
Mike, before I introduce you officially, you're from here.
Yes.
I mean, the differences between Olympia, Tacoma, and Seattle have always been on your mind, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I've always been somebody. I've never lived in Seattle proper. I think closest I've ever come is White Center or Rat City, whatever they call it.
Well, White Center is Seattle.
It's Seattle, but it's...
Don't tell Seattleites that.
It's Seattle's illegitimate child. In a lot of ways, I think that it's part of Seattle, but I don't think there's a lot of people in Seattle that would rush to claim it.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. Is it poor enough to be a ghetto?
I don't know anymore.
I guess it's a transitional.
I live in Hilltop. I don't know what that means.
I think maybe with by some, but I would venture that those are quite loaded terms that would have various definitions based on where you are and who you are.
Transitional form, perhaps. It's low income.
It's lower income than the rest of Seattle, but it's not necessarily the worst place in
the
world.
It's not crime-ridden or anything.
No,
these are usual terms that people throw around.
I actually kind of like White Center.
I like White Center. It's not bad.
But not even kind of. I'm hedging my bets.
I'll say this. I like it better than most of Seattle.
Hey, ask an atheist. 844-SKEPTIC. 844? No.
I'm not taking a shot at Seattle. I'm just saying I like not having to pay for parking.
Yeah.
And I like... that's something I have, aside from maybe a six-block area in downtown Tacoma.
Right.
Parking, you can just go somewhere and not have to strategize to have a place to leave your car.
But my point is, when you live in the Pacific Northwest or you live in Western Washington, mm-hmm. the Olympia, Seattle, Tacoma, Everett, they all have separate cultures. But if you get 500 miles away, it's all the Seattle area.
Yeah.
Much like on the East Coast, Becky demands that I treat Boston and New York differently, but
indeed I do,
and
I'm in no way a Yankee.
And I suppose, yes, you are. And you're from Boston. You are a Yankee. That's where they come from. And I suppose if you're like in Pennsylvania or the, you know, the Carolinas or something like that, there's a difference between New York and, you know, and the East Coast or whatever.
Boston has
and
the
New
worst.
England. But by the time you get out to Chicago, for me, it was always just the East Coast. I don't care if you were from Bangor, Boston, or New York. It all seemed vaguely the same. It was just quote unquote the East Coast. Where in Chicago, the fact that I grew up in Palatine is actually fairly distinct from growing up in Chicago. There was corn near where I lived. That is not necessarily true if you lived in Cicero or Evanston or Ravenswood or Pilsen or something like that.
This is going to make both of you unhappy. So I think I'm bringing you both together with
all
this.
All right, here we go.
I've been living here my whole life, living in Washington
State. Are you going to say that Chicago's part of the East Coast?
To people who live here, there's less of a distinction.
There is definitely less of a distinction, but what I'm noticing when I came out to the West Coast is it's more of an East Coast versus West Coast thing, and what they actually mean is east of the Mississippi and west of the Mississippi.
For me, it's just a different kind of big city that's bigger than Seattle and more prominent than Seattle. Seattle is really built around an inferiority complex compared to the rest of the country in a lot of ways.
But after a while, one big city begins to look a lot like the other. So,
yeah.
Anyway, hello, Mike.
Hello.
You are here as a you were one of the creators of Ask an Atheist, but your present project is something called Radio versus the Martians. Why don't you give us your elevator pitch real quick?
In short, basically, I like to call it the McLaughlin Group for Nerds.
Yeah.
Myself and other former co-host of Ask an Atheist, Casey Doran, have teamed up to do a panel discussion show on pop culture topics. And the two of us plus two guests hash out things from Batman, culture that we consider so bad it's good, zombies, professional wrestling, just about anything pop culture under the sun. And we give it a critical eye. I think we aim at being interesting, and if we fall on funny, that's great. And we do that once a month at radioversusthemartians.com.
Yeah.
It's podcast
online. I was on your first episode, and
yes.
I'm on a bit, so is Becky. In fact, you guys were on just the day that we're recording this. You guys were together recording a panel on Don Bluth.
Yes, animator Don Bluth, the guy behind The Land Before Time, Secret
and
of
the
Nim.
Movie of her people, Becky's people.
An American Tale.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of stuff there.
I noticed you guys didn't mention Fievel Goes. I could go on about that all day. But that's, if you like this kind of conversation, go to radiovsthemartians.com, right?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, go there.
We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, and just about any other place that you could be able to get a podcast through Android.
Absolutely. And that's kind of why we're here today in this segment, is that Becky found a couple news stories that she thought were if this were a Venn diagram between Ask an Atheist and Radio versus the Martian, it would be a circle.
This would be a circle. This we might call this genre mashup.
We might call this
just, you know, peanut butter and jelly. I love them.
An Omaha church custodian used bolt cutters to send suspended Mary Poppins mannequins crashing from the ceiling to the floor at St. Cecilia's Cathedral. The figure was part of a display for an annual flower festival themed A Night at the Movies. Custodian Mark Kenny also removed mannequins and a Buddha from the King and I display, causing an estimated $6,000 in damage. He reportedly objected to secular items such as movie characters, contending that their presence was an idolatrous and sacrilegious thing. Kenny pled no contest and will be sentenced on Holy Thursday.
That happens to be March 24th, but it does happen to be during Holy Week, so, oh, man.
Was that a goal? Was it a name?
I don't think that was in the judge's purview.
Or was this a confluence where they have a Night at the Cathedral thing to afford all the weird stuff they have to do for Holy Week?
Well, the fact that he's being charged basically says that the church did not give permission for this. You don't tend to go to jail for a thing that you do on your own property, unless you're setting it on fire.
So did he do this? Did he do this after or before the show? Or was it during the show where people were sipping champagne going, oh, yes, this movie float is very nice. And then they were hit by a Mary Poppins.
Well, actually, the story comes to us from the Omaha World Herald, and it has some very, very colorful writing in the narrative here where it says that he
looked through a peephole to make... She climbed up the catwalk, looked through a peephole to make sure that no one was, you know, below the Mary Poppins. And we're talking full-on Mary Poppins suited with the umbrella as if she's floating away kind of thing, right?
Right, right.
And used the bolt cutters to cut her and send her crashing to the floor, but he checked to make sure that no one was, like, perched underneath her.
Now, I don't want to... You know, say this is exactly the same thing as when the Taliban knocked down those statues of Buddha.
Oh.
But I'm just going to imply it.
But there's a definite resonance here.
Yeah, it's the same basic idea, is that there's a certain kind of person in this world that has a very narrow idea of what's okay and not okay, and they think that in the purpose of forwarding what's okay, that they can destroy other people's property.
Yeah, so Saint Cecilia's Cathedral... I'm assuming this is a Catholic church and not
yeah,
like a Nuke Easter.
Yes, and they do an annual flower show, okay. And it's themed. And so, you know, I mean, cathedrals are wonderfully sort of, they're awesome buildings. I mean, literally, they inspire awe for a lot of people. There's a lot of architectural, you know, and artistry that goes into building them. So they could be really, really neat places to hold things like music festivals, flower festivals.
That's an incredibly interesting point. What the heck is it doing with a peephole? Maybe the Catholic Church should avoid things like peepholes. I'm not saying they all touch kids, but I'm saying that's an image problem they've got.
I'm just going to say that peephole has probably been there since the building of the church.
That's not less creepy.
Well, peepholes are in the DNA of the Catholic Church, to be fair.
One could also say that there are peepholes that are needed in catwalks for the creation of things like stage-like things. And
no,
we
it's a catwalk. You look down. That's what they're for.
Okay. Maybe there was
That's
some colorful license afforded to this particular journalist who wrote this up.
What room has the peephole? I'm trying to figure out the geography of this. Who's watching what from where? And
from the Yellow Submarine.
So somebody is looking through a peephole into the actual main cathedral where all the pews are and where is he? And
somewhere,
how is he allowed back there?
And why is there cabling that is accessible from that particular geographical location out on site that would enable you to use the bolt cutters to cut the cabling to send Mary Poppins? I'm just visualizing Mary Poppins' umbrella failing and having her come crashing
down. My only
down.
Other comment about anything other... Like, this is clearly we're focusing on the Mary Poppins thing because Mary Poppins happens to be your favorite movie, correct?
She may or may not be my spirit animal if this atheist did indeed believe in spirit animals.
Right. And the only other thing is I can say the King and I did the earring switch from ear to ear as the evening went on because... Never mind.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
It was a continuity with what bald guys.
Oh, Yul Brynner.
Yul Brynner's
earring switched from ear to ear.
He's actually one of the, speaking as somebody who is also bald and shaves his head, Yul Brynner is definitely a bald role model.
No, Yul Brynner is great. Don't get me wrong.
He's up there with Telly Savalas and Samuel L. Jackson
also great.
Yeah, yeah. I like a cool, bald, shaved head guy.
Can't go wrong with Kojak.
I don't know if there were earrings or not, but I do know that on some of these mannequins that were chucked out of the church, they had...
Now I'm just imagining this disused pile of mannequin body parts in the alley behind the church, and then somebody happening upon them and going, "What happened here?" And then they're all plastic.
Well, here's the thing, though, that may or may not have been what actually unfolded, but we do know that there were painstakingly designed costumes on these mannequins that were award-winning.
Oh, that's where the damage... Like, 6 grand of damage is a lot of damage.
I assume it was broken pews.
No, these are fine workmanship costumes that were placed on these mannequins that were replicas of movie characters.
Yeah.
And they had been used in other contexts. I mean, you can imagine that for a big festival like this, you might have rented... You know, things.
Sure, absolutely.
So when you rent, you know, fine works of art, and mannequins themselves are not inexpensive, then you can see how it would add up to, you know, several grand.
Right, right, right. Yes.
But again, getting back to this custodian, I'm really weirded out about a custodian looking through people too.
Well, ex-custodian at this point.
Ex-custodian.
He has been dismissed from
his
job.
We don't know that.
No, we do.
Oh, we do?
It has been verified that he has been dismissed from his job.
Oi! Forgiveness! Never mind.
Well, he maybe it wasn't the best
fit. Good call, church. Good call.
Well, and it was kind of crazy because the church community, the diocese and the archbishops included, actually are very supportive of this particular cultural event, right? Integrating the church into, this nice festival and whatnot. And they were all kind of shocked and didn't really see anything wrong with having decorations because,
So this is clearly a North American Hepcat. It's cool to be a Catholic kind of church and not a somewhere else in the world.
Well, it's not a Mel Gibson's dad church.
Mel Gibson's dad. Or you don't have to go Mel Gibson's dad. Mm-hmm. In places where they have political ascendancy, they are saying, no, you cannot be gay. No, you cannot get divorces. No, you cannot have abortions. Da-da-da. Where in places where they don't hold political ascendancy, like here, it's like, hey, movie night.
Yeah, it's so weird, but I'm not surprised that somebody would want to do this.
No, you know what? You're right.
I'm
overblowing it a little bit.
But I'm just saying that there's a member of any congregation, even the most liberal congregation in the world, who takes things way too seriously. Usually they don't have the keys to the place.
It doesn't even have to be a church.
Oh, like, I know.
In any social gathering you've got, in a BBS, if you want to go into my history, a church.
Well, in schools, if you want to get into my wheelhouse, someone's going to complain that this particular school club poster is scandalous.
No. A role-playing game group, any particular social activity you want to name, there's always going to be one guy who takes it too seriously and shows up in costume for a tabletop game or decides to, to cut themselves in the name of Harry Potter or something like that. And apparently, Custodian Mark Kinney. I like this at Custodian Mark Kinney, as if that's his title, is one of those people.
Ooh, there's a great tie-in with a Night at the Movies theme of this flower show, and that's that the archbishop of this particular region, do you know what his name is?
What's that?
George Lucas.
Yeah.
Just happy coincidences.
And this is happening in Omaha, home of Omaha Atheists, one of my actually favoritest Facebook groups. Yeah, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, talk about awesome, robust communities of free thinkers.
I'm a member. I don't even live. I've never even been there. I hope to fix that sometime in the short term. So we have another story, and the whole reason I'm bringing this up at the end of the show is because the three of you, all of us in the studio right now, I'm thinking field trip. Just putting that out there.
To Omaha?
Spokane brothers Tim and Tyler Arnold have incorporated a Jedi church as a means to store their ballooning collection of pop culture collectibles and arcades. After running out of space on their own properties and after receiving a citation for storing arcade cabinets outdoors, the brothers purchased a building using the proceeds from auctioning a Johnny Ramone guitar. City zoning laws at the new property were restricted to residential or church activity. The brothers registered with the state but do not receive tax exemptions. Their philosophy stems from capitalizing on pop culture items to bring people together in a social setting, and the principle of being a good person. Congregants donate $10 when they meet on Sunday evenings, 5 to 10 p.m., to play video games.
Woohoo! Is this our kind of church?
This might, in fact, be the best thing ever.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Okay.
How could you not know how you feel about this, Mike?
In the remaining time, I want to hear this.
Well, I have no problem with these guys. I bet you I'd get along really well with them. But whenever I see how easy it is to just become a church, it feels kind of like you're just cheating at your taxes.
No, it totally is. But isn't this kind of the same? Isn't this the same thing that say the satanic folks do?
Yeah,
in a way.
But I don't think they're really doing that. I think they just have to do that. It says residential. It's zoned for residential. Can't I just do whatever I want in my house?
Yeah, they're not a business. They're not selling this stuff. They're clearly just looking for places to store all their cool stuff.
Yeah.
And if you look around me, as a collector of cool stuff, I understand in being this position.
Can I just buy a second house just to keep stuff? Am I visa? I just guess I don't understand zoning laws.
If that guy who writes, I want to call him R.R. Anderson.
Oh, George R.R. Martin.
I know there's an R.R. in it.
Yeah, he actually owns a second house across the street from his other house, and he just goes there to write.
Yeah,
he doesn't live there. I think he stores some memorabilia there, but for the most part, he does that to get rid of distractions.
Right, and if he can do that, then these guys should have a place to put all their arcade systems.
He can't just own a house. I guess the church thing, part of me always, it feels like you're cheating in some way. It's like, oh, you don't have to pay taxes now. Ha-ha!
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just so used to this being a thing where things that are clearly for profit are getting exemption for. I'm sorry. I did not come into this to be a killjoy.
No. Okay.
I feel like I am.
But here's the thing. They're not actually receiving tax exemptions. They're merely
They are not claiming tax exemptions.
Okay.
Specifically.
They're only registered with the state because the property that they bought can only be used for church activity or residential because it at one point happened to be a Methodist church in the history of the property. Okay. They want to be able to invite people over, maybe pay some to go play video games, right? Just like any arcade. But instead of dumping quarters into their things, you pay $10 and get to play all you want.
Okay.
And in the meantime, they're saving these antique arcade cabinets.
But they're calling it congregants and stuff like that. But I have a feeling the only reason they're charging money for it is because the city made them do it.
They probably have something wherever they might have to pay. I don't know.
Right, because it just sounds like it's a bunch of guys who get together and play video games, and they would do it for free if they'd let them.
Mm-hmm.
But zoning laws get in the way.
I think there's probably some parking issues.
I'm not going to get into it. It's a bit weird. But what I'm saying is, if there were to be a church that we'd have a field trip to, Mike.
Oh, I think they're probably great guys. Based on what I've seen of their collection, it is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I will say, though, if you have a Ramones guitar, you should be able to get more than a house in Spokane for it.
You would get a garage, a 1 square foot of a garage in Seattle.
I'm assuming there are operating costs involved. On that note, that's all the time we've got for today. My name is Sam Olvey. With me was Mike Gillis. How are you?
Doing great.
And Becky?
Always a pleasure.
And, who did we interview? My brain is
Helen fried. Stringer.
Helen Stringer. It was an amazing interview. I really hope, I'm looking forward to seeing Oasis things here at Tacoma. Be great. Go to our website at askanatheist.tv. Email us at questions at askanatheist.tv. Call us at 844-753-7842. Twitter us at askanatheistwa. That's all the time we got for today. See you next week. Right, so that's out of the way. No, seriously. Okay, I want to dig into this just a little bit more. About this church thing is, again, I'm sorry. Every time I do the end of the show, my brain gets, it's sort of like doing the, that's all the time we've got for today. I'm unclenching and my buffer just clears.
Oh, I get you.
So what is your concern with this church?
Are we still recording?
Yes, we are.
Okay, cool. So there's, I just trying to figure out what we get out of it.
Right.
I just know that a really quick way to avoid having to pay taxes is generally to put a cross on your roof.
Right.
And I always have, and this may just be a knee-jerk reaction, I can fully own that, but I always worry just a little bit that somebody's just doing it to get out of taxes. And I also have a little bit of a problem that they won't just let you do whatever you want with your own private house, as long as you're not putting other houses in danger.
So your concerns here are not with the people involved, but with the whole concept. Because one, they didn't just put a cross on top of their property,
mm-hmm.
they put a lightsaber on their property, because they registered specifically as a Jedi church.
Okay.
That's step one. Two, they are claiming no tax exemptions.
Which I like.
That's two. Three, they're not like producing horrible chemicals or in fact producing anything at all. It just sounds like they were looking for more closet space.
It's a place to hang out, which I have no objection to.
Or a place to hang out.
Well, they were looking for more closet space, but also a way to basically showcase all of this cool memorabilia and the arcades. They rescued these 140 arcades from a collector that like ran out of space and was smashing them with his tractor. And they're like, whoa, 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 hold up. No, we will take them off your hands.
Oh my God, isn't smashing arcade machines with a tractor the most Ronnie James Dio thing that has ever happened?
Yeah. Well, it depends which games you're smashing, because some of them it would be a crime and other ones
I think they would be, it would be more heavy metal, well, quote unquote heavy metal, if they were expensive ones.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so metal.
Well, here's the quote from Tyler, the brother. He said, "The city said if you wanted to use that building for anything other than a house, it has to be a church. And we went, yeah, we can make that work." I just love that.
Like, okay, you have a problem with it conceptually, but if there were going to be an implementation that you would be the most comfortable with, I have a feeling this would be it.
Oh, I want to say it's not the religion angle that bugs me.
Right.
It's just the tax evasion angle.
But they're not evading taxes.
I know. That was what it was. That was my knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. It feels a little bit weird that you, I don't know. A lot of it, that's the knee-jerk reaction I'm overcoming.
Okay.
But that's really what I'm struggling with.
Do you remember
here.
That radio show we were listening to in Spokane when we were driving back from Skeptikota?
Remind me, because I didn't actually drive back
right.
with you.
You were, no, right. It was just me and Jeremy, and there was just this really crazy radio show. It was like, take everything in Scan and everything we heard at KLAY and multiply it by 8.
Ooh.
And it was like, if you do not buy gold, you will die of scabies.
Oh, yeah. I better buy some gold.
Well, the Jedi Alliance saved me from that.
Right. And that's the other thing that happens in Spokane. Spokane is a lot more like Phoenix and Ahwatukee and those places than it is like here.
Well, I don't expect it to be like here. I guess the vibe I get from rural red state parts of our blue state.
Yeah.
I just put it under the umbrella of what I call Alaska.
But I mean, it's specifically like Phoenix in that it's, yeah, nominally a red state. There are some pretty crazy things that go on there.
But it's a huge city.
But you always have these islands of really cool things happening. Like, for example, Tim and Tyler Arnold.
Oh, yeah. I've lived here my whole life. It's not the same as, like, going to, like, Birmingham. It's not the same there. It's like, that's the reason I say Alaska, and I think the Southwest is a good example, a strong libertarian kind of bent to it.
Right.
Occasional smatterings of conspiracy theory, a little bit of racism.
Okay, so wrapping this up, because it's not much, but, you know, a little bit of a fourth segment, is... Would you guys come with me to to this church and be congregants for a day at the Jedi Church of Johnny Ramone?
To hang out with these guys and play? I'll do it.
Dude, that's
a
post show in Spokane right there, 5 to 10 p.m.
Becky, would you be willing to help me organize that?
I totally would. And here's the thing. It says, where a pastor would normally administer communion, a Jedi minister now guides his congregation in a game of Donkey Kong.
That game is merciless.
Cripes, can we get Weeby and Mitchell to go? That'd be cool.
Oh, Weeby, not Mitchell.
Yeah, well, Weeby might not like it because of religious sensibilities. Mitchell believes in nothing but himself, so I think he'd go.
Mitchell's just, he's such an asshole. We're in the fourth segment.
We are, you get one. And you get the one for the whole show.
Well, in that man, I was going to quote Mr. Mary Poppins hater guy.
Okay, go for it.
He, when the pastor walked in and said, "Oh my goodness, Custodian Mark, what happened? Did you see who did this?" Apparently, the custodian who cut down Mary Poppins and threw out the king and I said, "Father, this is bullshit. It's all idolatry." And the local newspaper actually quoted him.
Yeah, I thought they would.
I would too.
It's funny because usually you just blank that out with either stars or dashes, but they put it in there. Becky and I were having a conversation about this downstairs. I'm like, wait, what website is this? Is an actual newspaper? Can you put that in the newspaper? Or is it just on the site? Because I don't know. Maybe are we becoming more tolerant of profanity and things?
I think we are. And that kind of goes with my new post-show rule or fourth segment rules. We can have one or two if we're not on the air, but I don't want to have like... I want this to be more NYPD Blue than Oz.
I don't have to show my ass, do I? Because that is...
Actually, in both NYPD Blue and Oz, asses were fairly prominent. So never mind.
I can say the difference being NYPD Blue, it was consensual.
The vast audience.
That is a big difference.
Wanted to see Dennis Franz's butt.
Good night, everybody. You're absolutely correct. Yeah,
you're seeing Dennis Franz's backside because Dennis Franz
because
is,
it's artistic and not
Dennis Franz
weird.
Is not being thrown against a wall and covered with that delousing powder.
That's true.
Yeah, he's not getting beaten
I
up
think
by
people
a,
might pay for that, but it didn't happen.
There's less likely for him to be bloody and beaten by like a Nazi gang.
That's true. Also true.
Oh, Oz.
That was such a terrible show. I mean, it was like, okay. You know, it had its good dramatic moments. It was good.
It wasn't going to be a happy prison show.
But otherwise, no, that was the whole point. But yeah. it was kind of like repeatedly being hit with a chair leg.
Yeah. Prison's not fun.
I'm pretty sure it's not Oz everywhere.
Yeah, it's not Oz everywhere, thankfully. Okay, yeah. Not in Norway.
Republicans have to go somewhere. Illinois governors have to go somewhere.
Oh, yeah, they go to a spa with bars.
Yeah, all right. I guess that's anything else, or do we want to do anything more, Becky?
Not on this. I think we're all set.
All right, I think I've dug myself a deep enough grave. Thank you, and good night.